Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mini Crush. Noel sang bass. Chuck sang tenor. You can't follow that, can you?
Well, no, because you did both parts.
No, but you know what comes in? Do you even know that
I
song
don't.
Is what I'm asking?
No. Is it Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor?
Yeah, Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor.
I've never known anything outside of just those lines. What is there a part that comes next?
I think
next?
It's something about something and Grandma join right in.
Ah, Grandma. Let's let grandma do something. Give grandma a part.
Oh, grandma.
I miss my grandma. Sorry.
Oh, geez,
sorry.
No.
I'm sorry, man. I made it real. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about this episode, Noel.
Cool.
I've got love in my heart for the Movie Crush community.
They are a good community. Good bunch of folks.
It's really good. Everyone does such a great job on social media for the most part. The rare sort of snippy, snarky thing. But our social media page is different, everyone. We want it to be a kind safe zone for everyone to just have a good time and talk movies.
Well, and I'll say this, like one of my other shows, Ridiculous History, we have a really nice active Facebook community, but the thing that's different about yours or ours is you say something on there. You hop on there.
Sure.
And then you have 120 really good responses that we can then use on the show very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's pretty cool, that kind of engagement and the fact that people like really want to play. So that's pretty
It's great. And I also it's very instructive too, because there was one thread on the Movie Crushers subpage that someone was like, is it me or do I love the Mini Crushes more than the interview episodes? And a lot of people do. A lot of people love them all. A lot of people just do the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a lot, actually. Some people just do certain interviews. And then there was some, like, constructive critique. Like, you know, I think these guys should do this a little more. I'm kind of getting tired of this. So,
yeah, I saw that. One of them was, I think, just not just reading comments.
Facebook stuff.
Was being a little more. No, but honestly, that's the intention is always to engage with it as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, like, use it as, like, a jumping off point for something that we can talk about.
Agreed.
I think sometimes we're all a little we're doing two of these in a row and we've got somewhere to be and we sometimes maybe aren't as engaging as we ought to be.
And maybe a little too reliant sometimes on you guys to help program the show. So,
but I just know we just did one a second ago before this that presumably came out last week.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good middle ground between those things.
I think so too.
I thought right away. And I think we had both read that comment. We didn't talk about it until now.
I know.
And I think we both kind of upped our game a little bit. So let us know. Did we do that thing? Are we still shitting the bed?
All right, we're going to start off, as always, with Corrections Corner. And we are going to Heather Barkley. This is a military, I'm not going to say a military pedant, because people in the military are very specific.
Pedantic, dare you say?
No, specific.
Okay. Okay.
About, like, their shit is tight and correct.
Yeah.
And how they talk about things.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Civilians always gum it up. And Casey and I certainly did in our Full Metal Jacket episode, because Heather Barkley, former Marine, actually, I don't even think you say former Marine.
No,
you say former Marine, not ex-Marine. Maybe that's it.
That makes sense.
Or maybe I'm just fucking all this
up too. Wow. There's going to be a corrections corner about this corrections corner.
But Heather Barkley says, once a Marine, always a Marine. Oh, maybe that's the saying. USMC boot camp, recruits aren't soldiers. We kept saying soldiers. They are Marines. You call them Marines.
That's right. And they call them that. They say, Marine.
I know.
Get over here.
And drill instructor, not drill sergeant.
So that would be – a drill sergeant would be – is that
– In the Army.
In the Army. Yeah.
Yeah. However, then Daniele Ferrito – Daniele told me how to pronounce the name. And he says that – I don't know if he's a former Marine. He says Semper Fi. Are you allowed to say that if you're not a former Marine?
Well,
can you just say that as encouragement?
I think it becomes appropriation at that point, right?
I don't know. My brother-in-law's a Marine. He's a general, for God's sakes, Noel.
Well, you certainly don't get the bumper sticker unless you're actually a Marine.
He says that on your second point, I think in the time period depicted in the Marine Corps, they said drill sergeant at the time. And Heather was very sweet about it and said, I'm totally flexible. Yeah, they had a nice exchange. I like seeing that. Once again, great community of people.
Why were you talking about Marine stuff in Full Metal Jacket, though? That was Army, I think.
No, it was Marines.
It's Marines?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, man.
Okay, got it.
Because especially, you know, they have that big scene at the end where he's talking about Lee Harvey Oswald and Charles Whitman, the sniper killer, uh-huh. And they all learned to shoot in the Marine Corps.
I guess
that's one of the big points.
Listen, I love that movie. I haven't seen it in a while, and I forgot the distinction there too. So, and the thing is, too, it's very easy being a civilian to conflate the two.
Yeah,
you know, because they both seem similar in the way they're trained, but obviously there's nuances that we could never possibly wrap our heads around.
Marines are very like protective of their brand.
Oh, of course they are.
You know, they're like, we're not Army, we're not Navy, we're certainly not Air Force.
And what can you tell me what it is that differentiates them? They're considered more of an elite kind of?
Well, the few, the proud. You know, there are not many Marines. Right. The Army is, there's like millions of Army soldiers. The Marines number in the hundreds of thousands.
I will say this. I always thought it was interesting that they're called Marines, but they have nothing to do with the water, which is, you know.
First in, last out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marine water, yeah.
I don't know.
Mariners.
I don't know.
All right, and we're going to do one more correction. And our old friend, speaking of Daniele Ferlito, he breaks down the Blade Runner thing because we got a little confused about which version. And he really, this is very instructive. So,
had the narration, et cetera.
Yeah, big thanks here. Here are all the releases. He said, 82 was a U.S. Theatrical release, famously bombed, noir voiceover, happy ending, no unicorn dream, footage from The Shining at the end. I would guess 10 to 20% of fans prefer this version.
Footage from The Shining at the end?
Yeah. The car driving scene up the mountain at the beginning of The Shining is used at the end of Blade Runner.
No shit.
Yeah. Or just the aerial footage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Not the winding the mountain bug. Road or whatever. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's
they reused it. 92, the director's cut, released in select theaters nationwide. Huge success. No voiceover. Added unicorn dream. Inference that Deckard is might be a replicant. No happy ending. 2007, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
The final cut.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I just did scare quotes. Essentially the sexier version of the director's cut released in 4K. Phenomenal visual effects corrections. A visually stunning, superb job by director-producer Charles Lazarica? Lazarica.
Don't know that name.
Who worked closely on it with Ridley Scott's input. 80 to 90% of fans think this is the definitive version of the film. And Ridley Scott has gone on record saying so.
Got it.
And so that's it, dude. Those are the 1, 2, 3 big versions of Blade Runner.
I need to see the final cut. That sounds like the one.
Yeah, that sounds like the one.
Because I want to say, when I watched it, because I kind of stand, I've been saying I prefer... I've always loved Blade Runner. I've always loved it largely for its aesthetic contributions to sci-fi, cyberpunk cinema or whatever. And yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way. But on rewatching it recently, I really felt it was kind of light on story and that there wasn't a whole lot of motivation for some of the characters. And I was a little confused as to why Decker cared so much and like why he was so willing to fall in love with the replicant and why their relationship happened instantly with no real chemistry. I didn't quite understand why he would go to bat, you know, and like put his job and life on the line for this person that he only met once. I'm sorry, this, you know, replicant. And I rewatched it and I think I was with the VO version and I just felt the same way. And I thought the Ryan Gosling one, the Villeneuve, it was just so much richer. The world was so much richer. It took all the things that the first one established in terms of the look, and then it just added to it.
It really completed – it made the first one better, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
To see that again. Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
I like to as well, and I'm really excited for Villeneuve's Dune.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I'm not a Dune guy as far as, like, the book or the movie or anything, but I just know that it's a crazy – thing and that he's probably going to do a great job.
I'm sure he is. I mean, that's a book that I, you know, Robert Lamb and Joe McCormick from Something to Blow Your Mind, huge fans of all the books.
They're Duners.
I have tried to get through that book multiple times and have always sort of snoozed out on it because it's a little heavy on politics and it's very slow.
Yeah.
But I love the David Lynch movie because it's just so schlocky and weird and psychedelic and it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. But it's also kind of bad. But I want to see what Villeneuve does with it. I think it's going to be really cool because it's a great concept.
I can't wait. All right, Noel, we are going to a brand new segment called Stump the Chumps.
Remember the Chumps. Remember that segment on Car Talk? They would always do Stump the Chumps.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, did I just rip that off?
No, I mean, it's... I'm sure it's been done many times, but...
Oh, I thought I was being so clever. Didn't know that the great Car Talk did it, those two guys.
Yeah.
Classic.
Click and clack.
Yep, Hall of Fame broadcasters.
The Tappet Brothers.
So let's say it's in tribute to them then, Stump the Chumps.
There you go.
We are the Chumps, Noel. I'm getting specific, and I said, let's try and stump us. For Noel, let's do Game of Thrones.
Mm.
And for me, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I just kind of thought, like, what do I know really well?
Sure.
We'll go ahead and start it off with a Gooch, our old pal, David Gooch. For Noel, what are the names of the gods in the Faith of the Seven?
Well, there's the Mother. There's, the Crone, I want to say. I don't know. I know there's those two.
Okay. How many are there?
Well, there's the Seven.
Oh, there's, okay.
In the light of the Seven, there's like, I don't know.
All right.
I know
that's
there's seven, and I know one of them's the Mother, and I'm pretty sure there's the Crone, and I might have made that one up. There's probably like the Tinker, the Tailor, the Soldier, and the Spy. I don't
know. All right, Gooch stumps me too, because I don't know the answer to this. Chuck, what country is Indy in at the start of the film? I don't know that. Where is he? I don't know. He's in a jungle.
Yeah, that's right. And just for the record, it's the Mother, the Maiden, the Crone. So I got two of them at least. The Warrior, the Smith. I did say the Tinker. That's kind of like the Smith and the Stranger.
Okay.
Yeah. So 2 out of 7.
Not bad.
Do we know?
I didn't know mine.
Okay. So it would be.
Do we look these things up?
We should afterwards, right?
Do we?
I don't know. Well, we also want to know if we're right.
Well, I mean, I know I'm wrong because I don't know it.
Okay. Well, then we can move on. I think that's fair.
Evan Gundy, I feel like he's an old friend, says, Chuck in Raiders, what is written on her eyelids? He's talking about the classroom scene. And if I'm not mistaken, I love you, I heart you, maybe, is written on her eyelids when she blinks to her professor, which is creepy. Actually, you know.
I think it's just love you.
Love you? Okay.
Love on, yep.
I'm giving myself that one.
You totally deserve it, Chuck.
And Gundy also says this, Noel, who is featured as the main bad guy in the show, but nowhere in the books? Do you know the books?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the Night King. Well, maybe not. I mean, here's the thing. The Night King in the show is like this personification of evil, and he's the leader of the White Walkers, who are like the undead creatures, demonic creatures from, you know, the Land of Winter or whatever.
Okay.
But in the book, they don't really have a leader per se. There is a character called the Night's King that kind of seems like he's going to become maybe what they ultimately have in the show, but it never happens in the book. So I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
I think it's the Night King.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will play in Corrections Corner. Maybe people can correct our answers.
I think that might be fun. There you go. Good call.
All right. James Diaz has this for me. Chuck in Raiders, the sidekick who was killed in the opening of the movie played which Spider-Man villain? James, I know that. That was Alfred Molina in a very early role. So it would be what's his name?
Doc Ock.
Yeah. Dr. Octopus.
Alfred Molina, by the way, friend of the network. He's always popping up on our L.A. Wing shows.
Yeah. I've tried to get him on Movie Crush. It hasn't worked out yet.
Well, you should talk to—
He's game, I think.
Talk to Jamie Loftus and talk to, like, the folks, you know, the Daily Zeitgeist folks.
He's always
He's been on—
Well, because he's got a podcast now, I think.
Yeah.
So he's trying to, you know—
But he's also been on, like, I think he was on Ethnically Ambiguous. He's been on a handful of those L.A. shows. So.
I would love to sit down with Alfred
Molina. He's a legend.
Man, total legend. Prick Up Your Ears. What a great, great movie. All right, we'll go to you now, Noel. David Barlow, our old pal, says, Noel, what is the sigil of House Bolton? S-I-G-I-L? What is it?
It's Roose Bolton. Oh, Ramsay. Yeah, it's the flayed man.
Okay.
It's a skinned man. They refer to it as the flayed man. The Bolton, Ramsay Bolton is one of the big bads of the show, the human big bads. He is the most sadistic, evil, psychotic character I've ever encountered in any work of fiction.
Right.
He skins people alive for fun.
I feel like you're getting these right, Noel.
Yeah, and I know that one's for sure right.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, we'll go to me now. Jeff F or Oath or Oeth says, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Chuck, what actor came close to playing Indiana Jones? And why wasn't Harrison Ford a first choice? I know this, Jeff. It was going to be Tom Selleck for a moment, which could have been great. Tom could've Selleck, been, I could see that.
Could have been fine.
But, you know, it's Harrison Ford, and I think it almost wasn't, if I'm not mistaken, because of his recent turn as Han Solo, if I'm not mistaken.
It almost wasn't because of that?
I think so.
Because they didn't want to steal the thunder from, like, because he was such a big smash as that character?
Maybe. I feel like that had something to do with it. So.
What was Tom Selleck known for? Like, what was his big action?
Magnum P.I.
Sure, sure, sure.
But
that was a TV show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's where he made his name. I mean, he was in certainly a handful of movies over the years, but he was never the biggest movie
star.
Yeah,
he wasn't really a leading man kind of
like
dude.
He did High Road to China, which was this weird adventure romantic comedy. Mr. Baseball, where he played a former baseball player that or retiring that goes to Japan to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't have the biggest film career. Tom Selleck.
Interesting.
TV guy.
Mustache guy.
Friends. He's on Friends.
He's on Friends?
Yeah, he played Monica's much older boyfriend for
a while.
Oh,
I didn't know them.
Yeah. Let me see here. Well, here's a – all right, let me go to you, Noel. Chris Bobbitt says, Noel, Tyrion – has made whoopee with how many ladies of the night?
What? That's
I mean, come on,
a lot.
I don't even know that show, and I know you can't count that.
No, that's a whole. That's the whole point.
All right, that may have been a jest.
I think it was a jest, a jape, as they would say in the books.
Unless he's kept count.
Well, no.
I'm going to give you a do-over then, our old pal Luis Silva. Noel, how many characters were killed off in the first season? And I guess he's talking sort of main characters.
Oh God, that would require some real analysis. Yeah, a lot of big. Because by this point they're dead, so I don't even think of them as main characters anymore. So I'd really have to backtrack. I mean, I don't want to spoil this for anybody. I'm gonna take a pass on that one. I could if I really racked my brain, I could
name
them. But
not on the
dome. We don't have time for that. No.
Here's one for me. Kiefer Year Out, interesting name, says. Chuck, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, what fruit does the monkey eat that ultimately kills it? Dates. Bad dates.
Bad dates.
And why did it kill it? Well, I believe those were meant for Indiana.
They're poisoned.
Yeah, they were poisoned. Is that okay?
That makes sense.
Yeah, they were poisoned.
They hadn't just
they
turned.
They were bad. Yeah.
They hadn't just turned. Yeah, I got it.
Ooh, you know, spoiled dates, Noel. That'll fucking kill you.
Nothing worse than a bad date.
Let me see, Noel. Here we go. Our old pal Stellan Carlson says this. Who is one weg, one dar one?
That's the giant.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they call him 1-1 for short.
All right.
That's his full giant name.
Maybe in the future we should tell people in their to leave a reply leaving the correct answer.
I think that would be a good touch.
Probably so. Let me see. Our old pal William Angus says, who currently owns the rights to the Indiana Jones franchise? Geez, I don't know. My guess would be Disney because
they
own
everything,
right?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Disney?
Let's see.
Well, I mean, it would be actually.
It's Disney.
Is it?
Yeah. They've owned it.
Because it started out as Paramount, if I'm not mistaken.
It says, well, they acquired Lucasfilm.
So did Lucas?
Guess what it says. It says here the series production company was Lucasfilm, and they acquired it in 2012. Paramount retains the distribution rights
to
the first four films, but the IP rests with Disney.
Well, you know how I remember it was Paramount because very famously in the Raiders, the Paramount logo of the mountain dissolves, and you have the mirroring shot of the real mountain. Is the first shot of Raiders.
And infamously in the Crystal Skull movie, I believe it turns into like a fucking like muskrat hole or something like that.
Ew,
or there's like a chip. Like seriously, it turns into like a.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Ugh. Don't get us going on that again. All right. Good question, William. That's a good one. Karma Hamadi. I think Karma's an old pal. If not, welcome, Karma. Noel.
Who is River Phoenix in Indiana Jones?
Well, he played young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Oh.
Teenage Indiana and that opening bit.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, he was
so
great.
It was a bit, so it was a kind of a bit part.
Yeah, it was just
like one sequence.
That one sequence.
Interesting.
So good.
Sorry, I just saw it pop up when I was Googling. I had no idea he was in that.
I'd like to see that again. It's been a while since I've seen Last Crusade. So Karma says, Noel, what is the story behind Hodor's name?
Hold the door.
I even remember that from my
very sad
couple of seasons.
It was one of the few, like, it introduced the fact that time travel is a thing in the series and that you can change the course of events, because Bran travels back in time and inhabits Hodor's body and makes him do a thing. I can't remember exactly, but it definitely is the one time where you're like, oh, the course of events can be changed through the powers of warging, which is when you move around into different creatures. Warging. That's what Bran does. He's a warg.
Sorry, I just glazed over.
I know.
All right, let's go back to me. Mike Castro, our old friend Mike. Mike's stirring it up on the Movie Crushers page with some Game of Thrones shit.
Nice.
There was a big thread going about Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, about whether or not – apparently there's this thing where people who don't watch Game of Thrones are being very aggressive about their non-fandom.
Sure.
So I didn't know that was a thing.
Uh-huh.
Whereas it was sort of evenly divided. Then coming from my camp, there is a game of – as a non-watcher – I feel like I have a pineapple growing out of my forehead whenever I tell someone that. There are people, this is how it goes down, as they say, oh, what about last night's episode? I'm like, oh, I don't watch it anymore. And like, I get gawked eyes. You even did it.
I did do it.
And how can you not watch that? And it's always like, I'm made to feel weird because I don't watch it. So it's a strange back and forth.
Well, I think that's probably why the aggression.
Well, there's a lot of debate on the chicken and the egg in this argument, because the Game of Thrones people are like, no, man, people are being fucking dicks, just like going out of their way to say, like, I don't watch it, it's dumb, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is getting intense.
One of the good memes.
So weird.
You probably heard about this, Chuck, in the last episode. They managed to let a fucking Starbucks coffee cup slip into a scene.
I did see that. That was
and
funny.
So that was a meme that was going around. It was like, this is literally all I know about Game of Thrones. It's just a picture of Arya or Sansa or whatever in the Starbucks cup.
Yeah, that's funny.
And then they CGI'd it out
right,
and re-released it. Yeah.
That's funny.
Here's just to take a quick pause from a production perspective with your experience there. How the fuck did that make it past all the levels of quality control and like all of the passes of edit and like,
it's,
you know,
just the shit slips through the same way a boom mic can get it through a shot, you know,
and make it into the final print.
Yeah.
Just, and at least with TV and streaming, they were able to go back and fix it and upload it. What if it was like in theaters, you know?
Which we do on the podcast, not this one, of
occasionally,
course. We release everything.
Occasionally,
like something will happen and we'll republish it.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely,
that first version's always out there.
Yep.
So Mike says this, Chuck, in the beginning of the movie, Indy was searching for an idol. Oh, he asked the same question. What continent? And he gives me multiple choice: Africa, Asia, South America, or Australia. I'm going to say South America.
The look of the idol does
feel South American.
It feels South American. It feels like
and perhaps
Aztec
the tribe
or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely. And then Noel, he has this question for you: who was the royal executioner that beheaded Eddard Stark?
Eddard. Ned, for short. Oh, I don't remember that character's name. I remember he...
Well, he gives multiple choice. You
oh,
think you
perfect.
Get it?
Yes, I think I could, yep.
All right. A, Ser Beric Dondarrion.
Dondarrion, no, it's not him.
B, Ser Meron Trant.
I think it's him.
Ser Janos Slint or Ser Ilyn Payne.
Oh, I think it's Ilyn Payne because he was he came from a long line of executioners. I want to Google this real quick.
All right.
How do you spell that?
Up.
Ilyn Payne.
Ilyn Payne is what he has. Yeah, we need the answers for these. I kind of feel like a dummy now.
Yeah, totally. Ilyn Payne, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep. That's
all
right. Yeah, we're doing the homework. We're good.
Good job.
Very much so.
Let me see here. Cam Hoffman has one for me. Cam says this: Marion never wins the drinking contest in Nepal, true or false? Well, that's false. She wins. Of course she wins. Pistore.
What's the actress that plays that character?
Karen Allen.
That's right.
Yeah, she wins because the big burly, I feel like he's like Nepalese maybe. Mm-hmm. He smiles after the shot and then passes out.
Passes right out.
Yeah. She collects all the dough. And that's right when Indy shows up in her life again.
And he's very impressed.
All right, we're going to, yeah, he is. And she's instantly sober too for someone who did like 40 shots
right.
in that fight scene. I hate that when that happens in movies.
It's annoying.
One of the ones that always bugged me was in a movie I didn't like very much, Independence Day.
Right.
When Jeff Goldblum is hammered on scotch because it's like, I guess he's lost all hope. And then he like figures out the thing or whatever it is. And then immediately is like programming and fixing the thing.
Right, right,
I'm like,
right.
Wait a minute, dude. You just drank a bottle of fucking scotch. Uh-huh. You're not sober.
No. That's funny.
All right. We're going to finish it all with you, Brandon. Oh, this is an old friend. Brandon Surigail. Game of Thrones in the show. How is Jon Snow related to Maester Aemon?
Well, Aemon, he's a secret Targaryen, I want to say. No, well,
yeah,
Jon Snow's a secret.
Like right.
Jon Snow's a secret Targaryen. We don't find that out until later. Aemon Targaryen should have been the king.
Armin Tanzarian? Sorry.
It's very funny. He should have been the king, but what do you call it when you kind of like take your name out of the hat?
You withdraw?
Yeah, withdraw. Or
concede?
No, not concede. Recuse. He recused himself from the proceedings because he became a maester of the Citadel. Are you glazing over again there, Chuck?
No, I'm impressed with your knowledge, though.
Yeah, well,
you got it going on.
I don't remember the actual blood relation. He's his, like, because Jon Snow is Daenerys' nephew.
Okay.
So that, and then Aemon would have been the brother of Daenerys' father. So what does that make him to Jon Snow? If Jon Snow is Daenerys' nephew and the character in question is Daenerys' uncle, what does that make him to Daenerys' nephew? Is that like—
Would it be your uncle's uncle?
Great uncle?
Is it your uncle's uncle? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, no, no. Aunt's uncle. So Jon Snow's aunt's uncle.
Well, the only
uncle.
Way I can think of this is through my own life. So my aunt Jan, my mom's sister— Her uncle, Jesus.
Isn't it
is
great
there a
uncle?
Relation?
I think, yeah, exactly. I think there might not be a word for it.
There may not be a word for it.
Yeah.
I bet there's a word for it.
Yeah, probably. But hey, I at least laid out the lineage there.
Hey, man.
So
I'm impressed.
I think all that's pretty much accurate.
All right, Stump the Chumps, everyone. We may keep that one going. I don't know. I feel like Game of Thrones and Raiders are both pretty good for us, so maybe we should just leave that up there for a little while.
I'm down. I mean, I certainly have more source material to work with than you, so I kind of feel like I got more questions. I don't know.
No, that's all right.
Okay.
We don't have to be equitable.
That's fair. All right. I'm down.
The name of the show, Noel, isn't Even Steven with Noel and Chuck.
Oh, you're right. That's very true.
It's called Mini Crush. All right. How much time do we have? How long have we been
We've been here? At it about as long as we were for the last episode. Maybe a little less. The last one was beefy.
All right, you know what we're
going
to finish with then, Noel? We're going to excise that other one that I was going to do, and we're going to just finish up with a few home movie viewing tips. This is a thread going on the Facebook page where I asked for some instructive tips to give to everyone else because some people may not know as much as others about a quality home viewing experience. So I think this is kind of good stuff. We are going to start with Teresa DeMauro, our old pal. And she got a lot of uplikes for this. Closed captioning on because I'm eating potato chips. That's a thing. Sometimes if you have other noises going on.
Oh, yeah.
You might need a little help.
I had it last night. My landlord was installing knobs and handles on all my cabinets in the kitchen, which is really close to where I watch TV. And so
and
I
you
turned...
just sat around watching TV while they were doing that?
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you about the
I don't know what you should be
let
doing,
me ask
but...
you about the decorum on this then, Chuck.
Okay.
Okay, here's a question. My landlord recently came to me and said because of property taxes going up in my neighborhood, which is kind of a ground zero gentrification neighborhood, Grant Park, that he's upping our rent by like 20%, which is not insignificant, about $200 a month. And I'd been after him to do some repairs and some like painting and stuff. Because, again, I don't own the house. I'm paying rent. Why, it's not on me to spend money to improve the house.
No, of course not.
He's the landlord. He had been giving me the runaround on it for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so when he came to me and said, I'm raising the rent, I said, I will only even consider staying here and paying that if you do a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And so then, yeah, he was at my house painting my house. And yeah. I'm sitting there with my kid watching
TV.
That
usually works.
It totally worked. But
it's better to get you to stay.
Am I supposed to, like, help him out? Like, I mean, he's in there. I don't know.
Always depends on the nature of the relationship, I think.
Well, here's the thing, too. He did it all himself because he didn't want to pay anybody to do it.
Right.
So at that point, like, I did feel kind of bad, but I also made sure, you know, like, do you need anything? You know, is there anything I can do? But I'm also not going to do the work.
Well, of course not. Anyway. I was just ribbing you.
Okay.
Now, did he, I guess let's just go on a little real estate tangent.
Sure.
What's in your lease?
About what?
About raising rent.
Well, the lease is about to be up,
so
we're going to renew.
Yeah, but usually in the lease, though, it will say something about upping rent at the end of the lease, and like it can't be, it's like capped generally.
Maybe. I mean, so I know in Georgia in particular, it's usually only governed by market value, and the market in my neighborhood is definitely higher than what I'm paying. So
interesting.
Even what he's upping it to is significantly lower than like the houses around me what they rent for. But again, there were some things that he needed to do. But he did. He did it all. He did everything I asked him to do. And
do you
so,
have roommates right now?
I have a roommate, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who is that person?
I give him his name's Frank. He's actually been on some of the other shows. He's a friend of the shows.
Oh, yeah?
He's been on Ridiculous History before. And he's a
good guy?
Yeah, very good guy. He's probably listening right now.
I think the Movie Crush community is stunned for the entrance of a new character named Frank.
It's true. Frank.
It's like, who's it? Noel has a Frank?
I have a Frank.
Jeez. I'm taking it back, Noel. I'm a little jealous, dare I say.
Well, you guys should meet. We should hang out.
All right. Let me see here. Here's another good one.
Oh, that was all coming back to subtitles. But yeah, he was drilling and shit. And like I turned the subtitles on because it helps you in case there's a burst of noise. You can keep up with what's going on.
I hear you.
I took your advice too, by the way, Chuck, about ambient lighting. I got some of those Hue colored bulb things that I have in some lamps, and it's got a nice dimmer on it. So whenever I watch TV or watch a big movie, I turn all the lights off in the kitchen and the other rooms, and then I fade those colored lights
How's that working?
It's great.
Nice.
It adds to the vibe. It, like you said, it really sets off the picture where you can really very nice, what's the word I'm looking for? Separation kind of, you know?
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I like that. All right. Dylan Nichols I've never heard of doing this. He got a lot of uplikes though. He says this, our old pal Dylan says, my wife and I used to have date nights where we would pick one of our favorite movies and rewatch it, that is, in black and white by turning the saturation all the way down. I've never heard of people doing that.
That is about the nerdiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I love that.
I love it, too. I love it, too.
He got upliked a lot. I don't know if people just appreciated that or it's a thing that people do.
I've never heard of that.
That's great. Try that.
It's great. I do know there is a black and white official release of Mad Max Thunder Road and also of Wolverine, the Logan movie. There's also a black and white version of that.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love that movie. That was really good. Debbie, our old pal Debbie Frangadakis says, Lowry salt on popcorn.
That's like a...
It's a seasoned salt.
Seasoned salt, yeah. Like Tony's or something. That does sound good.
All right. We'll have to give that a whirl.
Have I mentioned nutritional yeast on the show before?
I think so.
And did you make a face? Because it's
the
name.
So.
It doesn't sound appetizing.
Yeah.
It really is good on popcorn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, nutritional yeast. That's Noel's big recommendation of the
Sounds
day,
like
everyone.
A science thing.
All right. We'll go with Brandy McDonald. She says, we do movie theater nights with our kids where they pay tickets, in quotes, to get in and are given tickets to purchase treats to enjoy during the movie. Much cheaper than taking them to the movie theater. So they kind of play like they're going to the movies and doing the same thing at home. That's very cute. From Brandy McDonald. That's a fun thing to do with kids, I think. It's also fun to take them to the movies sometimes. Robert Paulson, our old pal, says, always make popcorn in a pot. Never do microwave popcorn. It's easy to do and it's better for the environment. All right, Paulson. You California hippie. You L.A. godless L.A. hippie freak.
Hey, man, that's disrespectful to hippie freaks.
Louis Silva, our old friend, says separate bowls for M&M's and popcorn. Otherwise, they just sink to the bottom. So I think he's saying mix them
in mouth.
To truly mix them, yeah.
Yes.
Got to do the mouth mix.
The mouth mix.
He's right. The M&Ms do fall on the bottom. Sometimes that can be a little problematic.
Especially if they're like peanut, like heavier M&Ms, you know? They'll just separate out and then you'll just...
I mean, to me, there are no other M&Ms.
I agree. Yeah. You hand me a regular M&M, I'm like, what the fuck is this? What's the point even? It needs a crunch.
All right, we're going to finish with this. Our old pal Kayla MH says, freshly grated Parmesan cheese on your popcorn.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. You got to toss it, though. You got to put it in a separate bowl and then mix it so it kind of coats it. Because if the popcorn's hot enough, it'll cause the cheese to melt just enough to where it'll cling to the individual.
Yeah, and the way Parmesan melts is a little different, too. Yeah. It's sort of a half melt.
It's a clingier melt.
Yeah, a clingy melt.
Yeah. No, I've done that before, pretty recently, actually.
All right. Leah Mitchell gave it a big thumbs up and said, my fave as well, and some fresh cracked pepper.
I was about to say maybe a little cayenne.
All right. Well, these are the popcorn recommendations that are rocking my world. Never knew of such a thing. I'm going to give it a whirl. I don't make popcorn a lot at home. I should do it more.
I don't either. But when I told you about my cabin getaway, yeah, I did. You said with the guest book and all that.
Sure.
We watched Labyrinth. My girlfriend had never seen it before, and we made a bunch of popcorn and watched Labyrinth, and it was a delight.
All right, Nolan, you know how we're going to close out the show today?
Do tell.
You just reminded me. I found a picture of the guest book signing that I referenced in the last episode.
That was inspired by the horn dog, Will Ferrell,
yes.
Hot tub, creepy couple.
Yeah, and it's not as funny as I remember, but it was okay. November 2015, wife's birthday weekend. This weekend, my wife and I, and again, people, if you didn't listen, this is what I wrote in a guest book after a weekend away with a bunch of friends in a cabin for Emily's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommended people always do something fun and funny in a guest book if you get the chance. My wife's birthday weekend. This weekend, my wife and I and a small group of alcoholics rented name-redacted lodge. We had a lot of fun, laughed, loved, swapped partners, and learned a thing or two about each other along the way. We each found all of the various beds to be very comfortable and very sturdy, in all caps. The hot tub was used as used on an as-needed basis. And we found the grill was perfect for cooking a variety of exotic game meats.
Nice.
That was the Will Ferrell shout. We'll definitely be back now that we've put our stamp on the place, and that's in quotes. Hooray for Name Redacted Lodge. Love the McCormicks.
You're not the McCormicks.
No. That's part of the joke, Noel.
I get it. I love it.
I'm not going to put Chuck Bryant from Stuff You Should Know in Movie Crush. Or maybe I should. Like one person every 10 years would say, like, oh, my God.
Did I tell you that Joe and his wife rented the same cabin that I rented?
Oh, really? Joe McCormick?
And I only could tell because they have, like, an Instamax camera there that all the guests take pictures of themselves with.
And he's on the
fridge. He's on the wall?
Oh, I thought he carved Red was here.
No, I saw him on the fridge. It was on the freezer. And I was like, that's Joe.
That might have been. Was that a little creepy or was it, like, funny?
It was.
Because I could
just
see
weird.
Being like...
No, I texted him immediately, and I was like, what are the chances? And I guess there's not that many cabins, but there kind of are a lot of cabins.
Yeah.
This was also a particularly nerdy cabin. Like, it was all covered with, like, all the art was, like, Harry Potter and Star Wars based. We didn't know that.
Well, you didn't tell me it was a Harry Potter
cabin. It was a Harry Potter-themed cabin, yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, the hot tub was shaped like a fucking cauldron. It was fun, though. And, and Joe said, yeah, we're totally going back to that cabin next weekend. It's like our cabin.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you guys are all –
they were taken by the Potter cabin. But, no, we had a great time. But
good.
I actually haven't followed up with him on it. I want to see how his second stay went.
Wow. You guys are just, I guess, similar tastes?
Only issue I had was that the hot tub was, like, right by a road. So that, you know, you had to kind of like let it all hang out, literally.
Do you get creepy about going dong out in a hot tub that Joe's been dong out in?
Well, that's the hot tubs, you know, the chemicals are meant to protect you from other people's dongs.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got dong killing properties.
It does. It really does.
All right. What a great way to end. That was a lot of fun. Good seeing you.
Yeah, man.
And we'll see everyone through the internet next week.
Love it. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.